let me just share pretty simply what I feel like God is up to through the experience that I had in Argentina. And it does have some to do with what's going on here in baptism. I believe that when we get to know the true and living God through the Holy Spirit, who reveals Jesus, we find out that we are loved more than we ever realized. In Argentina, there are some great pastors that are now starting in, a great team. If we got that picture up of these folks. On the left is Ezekiel in Gualeguaychú, 3 hours north of Buenos Aires. And then Mark and Karina are in the middle. They moved from Tennessee down to Mendoza, Argentina. They're just starting. And then Christian and Maybel, they're just on the suburb of Buenos Aires and in sort of a rough section of town. And these guys are starting, leading churches. And something got to me as we were on the subway in Buenos Aires. There was a mom with two little girls and in really rough shape, really, really rough shape. Every scent, every sight, you could tell there was some rough things going on. And the mom was crying, asking for something to be able to provide for her kids. And the kids, one of the girls found like a newspaper advertisement on the floor of the subway, and she picked it up and she kind of looked at her sister like, you want this, don't you? This special thing that I just found on the ground. And they got into a fight about it, and I just about lost it. In most mission situations, we send teams to do things like love on orphans or that kind of thing. In the Vineyard, we don't do that so much. In the Vineyard, we send teams to equip leaders and especially church planters to do the stuff on the ground, to set up situations where there's a long-lasting indigenous movement of church planting going on so that there's good news to the poor. Blind eyes would be open, prisoners would be set free, and God's favor would be announced. And so there was nothing that I think fired me up as much as being in that subway and being with that family where I just kind of got angry at the devil. And I wanted to do everything I could to change what was going on there. Just this weekend, it was announced that Argentina has the highest interest rate in the whole wide world, 40%. Because the currency is a mess. And so as they're adjusting to a world economy, it means that the poor of the poor get poorer, the ones that don't have any American capital and that kind of thing, as some attempt to not go into a failed economy like Venezuela is right now. In the midst of that, I don't want to be a doomsdayer, but I was asking the pastors here that you saw in the picture, what makes the Vineyard so special? As a church, we believe that we don't have it all together. We believe that the Vineyard is a part of the stew that gets served as the kingdom of God to a whole city. We are just a carrot in the stew. So I was asking the pastors, what makes you unique in Buenos Aires? What makes you unique in Argentina? What is it about the Vineyard that really adds this carrot, this zanahoria, this thing? And they said, and it wasn't the pastors so much that spoke to this, but it was the people in the congregations. They said, it's the kindness. See, the Vineyard, for a long time, it was the first movement in the world that led worship with a guitar. It was the first movement in the world that really started out giving just a simple model for people to give away in prayer. Those are the things that the Vineyard's known about, that and kingdom theology. Kindness, I guess, is somewhere on the list, but it wouldn't be at the top. And for them, it was, yeah, this is the church that doesn't yell at me from the pulpit. This is the church that doesn't give me a guilt trip when I don't do something right. Most of you here have come through experiences where God has revealed himself to you truly. I remember I was in my bed as a teenager, and I was just so frustrated, and it felt desperate. And I said, God, would you please say something to me, talk to me, speak into my situation? And for the first time in my life, I kind of felt my jaw go numb, my tongue go numb. I couldn't scream or cry anymore. And I heard as audibly as I can remember, I'm all you need to know. Some of you have come from church backgrounds, family backgrounds, where you've been abused, where someone just judged you into like an oppression that had nothing to do with Jesus. Some of us operate in ways where when someone disappoints us, we can very easily just say, just be really, really mean. I imagine these pastors that are being so judgmental and so fickle. There, but by the grace of God, go I. And that's what I want to leave you with today. When the real God gets revealed to us through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus, when that happens, one of the first gifts that God gives us through that is a God that loves us enough that we can love other people freely. And all of the judgmentalism that we have for others, all of the judgmentalism that we've received in our lives, all kind of fades away. When the God of the universe, a God that does not need to be held up, folks, does not need to be, he doesn't need anything from us to be God. He doesn't need any ramp, doesn't need defensiveness. When the God of the universe reveals himself, that kind of love sets the stage for a life where we don't have to be afraid of anything. The verse that I'm talking about there, it's John 15:26. And Jesus says this to his disciples. It's a verse towards the end. But I will send you the advocate, or comforter, encourager, counselor. The Greek reads paraclete. It's kind of a fancy word, Greek word for all those things. I will send you an advocate, the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth that breaks apart every lie that we've ever heard that's defined us. The Spirit of truth that identifies who God really is. Not the God that we try to make up in order to put people in a box to judge them, but the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. Jesus is talking about himself. And you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. I think one of the greatest missions, and when we talk about the transformation that these girls are going through and the transformation that some of you have gone through, that transformation, when it works itself out, turns into mission. And the root of that mission means revealing who Jesus is to the world. When Jesus is revealed to the world, all that judgmentalism falls away, all fear falls away. But we struggle, we all struggle, lifting up gods in our lives that don't make any sense. And Isaiah 46 speaks to this. It's the prophet Isaiah, and he's talking to these people who have tried to follow things that need to be bolstered up. You guys are carrying the burdens of the gods that you follow. And I think about that like the Argentinian peso. For those of you who are so excited about the money that you so depend on it, like I do sometimes, in just a blink of an eye, it could be absolutely worthless. And so this is what the prophet Isaiah is talking about. I'm just going to read it for you. This is chapter 46. Bel and Nebo, these gods of Babylon, bow as they're lowered to the ground. If you can imagine them being sort of towed on, here they are, being hauled away on ox carts. The poor beasts stagger under the weight of these idols. Both the idols and their owners are bowed down. The gods can't protect the people. Money can't protect you. Whatever you think is satisfying your need, whatever thing that you fight about in your mind, it can't protect you. It can't protect the people. And the people can't protect the gods. They go off into captivity together. Listen to me, descendants of Jacob, all you who remain in Israel, I have cared for you. This is God speaking. I have cared for you since you were born. Yes, I cared you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime. Until your hair is white with age, I made you, and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. To whom will you compare me? Who's my equal? Some people pour out their silver and gold and hire a craftsman to make a god from it. Then they bow down and worship it. They carry it around on their shoulders, and when they set it down, it stays there. It can't move. can't rescue anyone from trouble. And when someone prays to it, there's no answer. Don't forget this. Keep it in mind. Remember this, you guilty ones, the ones that have leaned on these gods, these false gods. Remember the things I've done in the past, God says. I alone am God. I am God. There is no one like me. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass. For I do whatever I wish. I will call on a swift bird of prey from the east, a leader from a distant land to come and do my bidding. I have said what I will do, and I will do it. Listen to me, you stubborn people who are so far from doing right, for I'm ready to set things right. Not in the distant future, but right now. I'm ready to save Jerusalem and show my glory to Israel. I got the pictures I was preparing for this morning that there are some of you here that feel this weight on you that's almost unbearable. And I think it was spoken to in some of the words. The lives that we live oftentimes turn into weights that we can't carry because they focus on worshiping the wrong thing. We experience the most of the gods that we worship the most. If you look at your itinerary for the week, if you look at your budget, if you look at whatever it is, that which you yearn for the most often determines what you experience the most. And some of you here are experiencing a heavy burden. And God wants to change that today. And the situation may not change, but the God in your life, he wants to change. He wants to be lifted high as the one that you don't have to lift up anymore, the God that you don't have to defend, the God that's always there to save you. He did this with Jesus through baptism. This is Matthew 3:11. John the Baptist is there with Jesus, and they get into a bit of a fight. I would have never wanted to fight with Jesus, but Jesus wins. John says, I'm baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who's coming behind me is more powerful than me. I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He's got a shovel in his hand, ready to clear out his barn and gather all the corn into the granary, but he'll burn up the chaff with fire that will never go out. So he sets the stage for Jesus to come, and then who shows up? Jesus. Jesus arrived at the Jordan from Galilee and came to John to be baptized by him. John tried to stop him. That was a mistake. I ought to be baptized by you, he said. Are you going to come to me? And Jesus says something that I absolutely love. And if you remember anything from today, if you want the authentic God of the universe to be Lord of your life, there's a point in your life that even Jesus goes through, and it really humbles me. He says, we've got to do this in order for things to be made right. This is how it's got to be right now, Jesus says. Jesus, who's sinless, has to go through the waters of repentance, not to repent from sin, but to identify, I am only going to be able to do the work that my Father says to do. I'm abandoning all else. I'm abandoning any selfish motive. I am going forward and I am going to follow the God of the universe, and that's it. I'm abandoning myself to him. And you ladies are doing that today. Following the way of Jesus. This is the way it's got to be right now. This is the right way for us to complete God's whole saving plan. So John consented. Good for him. And Jesus was baptized. All at once, as he came out of the water, suddenly the heavens were opened, and he saw God's Spirit coming down like a dove and landing on him. Then there came a voice out of the heavens, "This is my Son, my beloved one," said the voice. "I am delighted with him." So here's the invitation of the God of the universe, the authentic one, the one that the Holy Spirit reveals in Jesus, the way that we know that this is the right God, the God that we should follow. Here's what he does. We don't have to prop him up. We don't have to defend him. Instead, when we experience this God that we follow, three things happens. God invites us to repent. to lay down all the other gods, to lay down all the other things that we think are the most supportive things in our lives. We lay them all down. He invites us to repent. Then he invites us to be filled. Again, we see this in what Jesus is doing. He gets baptized. Goes through repentance. He's filled. The Spirit descends on him like a dove. And then, and this is what we all need. This is what the pastors in Argentina need more than anything, as they get judgmental from the stage for fear that something will go wrong in their lives, whatever it is. Here's what we need. We receive our true identity as his children. Things go wrong in this church. I often disagree with what's going on. It happens. Guess what? I'm not afraid. Because my identity is not in how well things go. My identity is in who God tells me I am. And this changes everything. If at any time we begin to follow a God that will only love us depending on how good we are, we have started following a false God. If at any time we start following a God that says, oh, you haven't done enough, we have started following a false God. If we ever start following a God that says, oh, you don't have enough money, you really failed, I don't think that you should be hanging out with those people, it's a false God. The God of the universe says, you're mine, and I love you, and that's it. And so I invite you to lay all the other stuff down. Be filled with my Spirit so your life can be driven by a power you've never known. And receive an identity that I give to you as your creator, an authentic one that is pure and true and not based on anything except I love you. God's whole saving plan includes us being told that he's pleased with us. That's the real God. Experiencing the God that we follow means receiving his powerful blessing. Experiencing the God that we follow means being carried by his care, not having to carry God. Experiencing the God that we follow means partnering with a God that's on the move. Did you hear the words from Isaiah? I know the future. And when we begin to lay down all the other stuff that we try to prop up our lives, he invites us into this amazing plan. I would much rather be on board with the God of the universe that knows the future than to be wallowing in my own plans to try to prop up my own life. And that's the invitation of repentance. Lay down everything else. I've got a plan and a future for you. Experiencing the God that we follow means joining with his future plans. Friends, we are all invited into this. Me first, because I am the worst of all of you, in struggling with this place of what it means to lean on this God that's so gracious and not trying to prove my worthiness to him. It gets harder when you're church leader. But we're all in the same boat. We all need to receive this invitation to follow this powerful and loving God who invites us into his care. Would you stand with me this morning? And so, we need to ask the question this morning, have we been following a God that resembles Jesus? Have we been following false gods that have judged us? Do we need to repent or forgive those who have judged us in the wrong way, putting on us weights that God never put there? Come, Holy Spirit. I just want to wait for a moment and let him do the work right now. And it's going to feel awkward to all y'all who aren't used to silence, but I'm just going to let that discomfort be there.